Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I've been on for quite a while now, talking about observing all things that Jesus commanded us. This is taken from Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. And it says we're supposed to teach people to observe all things that He's commanded us. And so for the last week or two, I've been talking about creationism as described in the Bible versus evolution. And we've dealt with a lot of things. I hadn't got time to go back through it, but let me say that I've used scriptures to show you from scripture that evolution does not conform to what the Scripture teaches. If you've missed any of this, please get this teaching. But then I've also been bringing in some people who are experts, Dr. Carl Ball and Dr. Grady McMurtry, who are experts in geology and in all of these scientists type of thing, and they are showing from secular evidence that the Bible's account of creation is accurate and not evolution. And one of the things that I want to do today is go back to the Creation Evidence Museum that's in Glen Rose, Texas. And I was there with Dr. Carl Ball, and he brought this, he calls it a wall of truth, and it's actual strata of rock that have been brought from other places, and they've accumulated this. And according to the evolutionary model, this strata of rock from way down, I may get some of these details wrong, but when you watch the interview with Dr. Ball, he will say it just exactly right. But from the Precambrian stratus all the way up, it's supposed to represent something like 550 million years of evolution. And according to the evolutionary model, these layers, different layers that you can obviously see in rock, you can see it anywhere that you live. As I drive up and down the pass in Colorado, I see all of these different layers of rock. And according to the evolutionist, they are separated by millions and millions, even tens of millions of years. And yet, in these strata, you can find things like a trilobite that is a one-celled animal that is incredibly complex, but it's supposed to be way down at the very bottom, one of the very first things. And yet Dr. Ball has a sandal with a trilobite print in it, showing you that people and trilobites existed at the same time. All we have now is trilobites in fossil records, but that fossil existed during mankind. There is a quote from, I'm not going to mention the guy's name because I may get it wrong. I may say something wrong. But there is a famous evolutionist who said, if you could somehow or another put mankind and dinosaurs together at the same time, it would completely undo the evolution model. And yet we have evidence of that. And this little trilobite being in one of the sandal prints. And then there's all kinds of things. There's these things called plumes, I think, that is an actual plant or tree that reaches up through what is supposed to be hundreds of millions years worth of deposits. And that couldn't have happened unless these deposits came very quickly. So anyway, we have some actual footage where Dr. McMurtry is showing like Mount St. Helens and how quickly all of these things were deposited. I'll get to those later, but today I want to go to this wall of truth with Dr. Carl Ball and let him just explain some of these things to you at the Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose, Texas.
The moment you enter the door to the Creation Evidence Museum, you're immediately confronted with a wall. This wall is genuine. This rock and this coal are not fabricated. We had this rock brought from the various locations throughout the United States where these layers, according to geologists, were formed. And this is the geologic column. According to evolutionary theory, that geologic column represents 550 million years of development from early sea bugs called trilobites all the way up to man and his companions. First, in the Cambrian rock, all the way down at what's assigned 550 million years, We have a human sandal print. Now, this is a replication. You saw the original human sandal print. Well, now, immediately, that blows evolutionary theory.
And so the lower on this thing, this is the older according to evolution,
yes.
And up at the top is the more recent. So yes. Here is this sandal down here at the very beginning of the fossil record.
At the very beginning of
hundreds of years, millions of years before it was supposed to be there.
550 million years. Simply assign that age. There is no way to prove that that rock is any older than any other rock.
Sure.
Then we come to the coal above that. This is the genuine coal. Here we have a replication of the cup. You saw that cup a few moments ago.
Yep.
And that was found in a huge chunk of coal by Frank Kennard. Then we have in the Permian a human footprint. There was a trail of nine of these. More coal. We have what's called the clastic dikes, the rolling of the material while it was still pliable. Then we go up to the big dinosaur bone. That was the discovery bone. And in that location, there were 14 other dinosaurs, and we're still excavating at that site. Above that, if you'll look, you'll see the hammer, a replication of the hammer. You saw the original a moment ago. That's in rock that's supposed to be 140 million years old. Over to the right, the human finger in rock that's supposed to be 110. Then you see the Willett print, and then you see the Delt print. Among these, you have plants that are polystrate. That poly means many, straight means layers. So while this plant was in place, these other layers formed. They had to form very rapidly.
Because according to the evolutionary, this period from here to here would have been a million, hundreds of millions of years.
Tens of millions of years.
And yet you've got one plant
running up through that.
That kind of disproves that theory
Yes. And these polystrates are found throughout the geologic column, but they're ignored. If you read the geologic literature, you can't find polystrate fossil. But they're throughout the geologic column.
So, Carl, can you explain how all of these layers that were placed down, how did all of these layers come? Was it the one flood that produced all of the different layers?
The single flood. All of these are sedimentary deposits. Some of these deposits run over 11 states and into Canada. Some of these deposits, like those we're working in here, run adjacent to the material that bans the entire globe. Sedimentary deposits are water-borne deposits. Mm-hmm. They have to be laid down very rapidly. In order for fossils to be preserved, you can't have exposure to the atmosphere. They have to be encased very rapidly in this sedimentary material, otherwise they biodegrade very fast. And then they're compressed once they're in this material. So every one of these layers, including the coal, made of organic material, then compressed because of this weight, and I mentioned earlier as we dialogued that we can make coal in 1 hour.
So this coal was produced because of the weight of the other layers on top of it.
That's
because
correct.
Of the heat, because of those five things that you were talking about.
That's correct. So the entire geologic column does not represent what we have been taught. 550 million years of evolutionary time, but represents the activity in a worldwide flood. But let me finally mention this. At the bottom is the granite. The scripture says in the first chapter of Genesis, God said, let the dry land appear on day three, and the dry land appeared. Just let the dry land appear, the dry land appeared, just like that. The base to the dry land is the granite. But according to evolutionary theory, it took 50 million years for that granite to form. But the scripture says, let the dry land appear, and the dry land appeared.
In one day.
Not only one day, in one sentence.
Well, that's true, but I mean, it was what, the third day of creation?
Day
it
of creation.
Wasn't spread out over hundreds of millions of years.
That's right. But watch closely. In that granite are these tiny little halos. Among those halos, without any associated daughter relationships, meaning they're isolated. So we have to consider them as specific units. We have the halos left by polonium-214. The half-life of polonium-214 is 0.000164 seconds. Now, you're a math major.
That's quick.
That's quick. It's faster than you can snap your finger.
Yeah.
That means that that granite was created, functionally mature, and recording what was in it, recording the pleochroic halos, faster than we can snap our finger. In other words, what you found today is there's evidence for creation, just like the Bible said.
Now, you stated that very good, but let me give a layman's interpretation that this means that for those radioactive things, that their half-life is less than the snap of a finger. If it took longer than that to form this rock, all of those isotopes would have disappeared.
Sure
they would have been gone. So for all of these isotopes to be locked in granite, it means that granite was formed quicker than that, or those isotopes would all be gone.
You're right.
That's awesome. That's my layman's explanation of your technical thing.
Good job.
But this is great. This is just tremendous. So all of these layers, how did they get there at different times? Or were they all put there simultaneously?
Not simultaneously. It took a year, you know.
Like waves?
Waves, sure.
And
it took... Now, the fountains of the great deep caused the flood at the beginning. They ruptured.
Mm-hmm.
Then the windows of heaven were opened, channel windows were cut into that canopy, and it began to rain, ran 40 days and nights. But it took 150 days for the fountains to be assuaged, to stop.
Right.
So we have 150 days of this material being ruptured up from the internal structure of the earth, and then spread out. And some of it spread out over maybe a few states, some over many states, some of it worldwide, because you'd have tremendous amounts of it, smaller amounts of it, and that's what we find in the geologic record. You'll find sheets of it running over a quarter of a state, sheets of it running over two or three states, 11 states, etc., and some of it running around the world.
Now, let me ask you what this white thing is here that goes up into a different strata of rock. What is this?
Okay, that's a plume. So we have represented, and I'm glad Bob called attention to the polystrate fossil, showing that this was in place and these formed very rapidly around this. So again, we're talking about
rapid
succession.
So this one plant did not live hundreds of millions of years.
That's right. But this plume is very significant. Here we have the white material.
Is that limestone or?
That's a limestone, and that's from Utah, where they have a lot of these plumes. But the other material is laid in tidal impacts, one layer after another upon it. But it is so pliable that its weight causes that plume to thrust up into it. So in other words, all of that is pliable. It is not yet cured, lithified, hardened into real hard rock. That shows it's rapid and it's in succession.
And so all of this weight that was upon it just forced some of that pliable material up into
the cracked material, because that was still pliable, was yet unconsolidated.
I bet that doesn't fit into evolutionary theory either.
Oh, no.
So how do they deal with those? Is this one of those things that they willfully ignore?
Well, they say, those are beautiful plumes, aren't they? And that's all. And the fact that they run up through rock and require a very short time to have elapsed to run up through the rock above them.
And Carl and I have both seen pillar lava up at 14,000 feet on Mount Ararat, too.
Pillar lava is only formed underwater.
Well, you know, I've read that in every culture, like the Chinese, every culture has a worldwide flood.
Over 500 accounts of a worldwide flood.
Among people that don't believe in our God at all, and yet every segment of humanity, without collaboration with the other groups, all have this worldwide flood because it actually happened.
Yes.
That's awesome.
On today's program, Andrew interviewed Dr. Carl Baugh. For more information about Dr. Baugh and the Creation Evidence Museum, go to creationevidence.org. Andrew's complete teaching titled Observing All Things is available on either CD or DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
It was the kind of property where we needed to share it. It was just so amazing and so beautiful. And we really felt God's presence there in such a strong way that you have no choice but to share that.
It was a special place. We knew for a fact that the what we called Red Hawk Ranch, which is now the sanctuary, we knew that land was special. We knew it had really been set aside.
We realized what a beautiful spot that was and a perfect location. So we chose to build the house there. We almost knew as we were building it that it wasn't going to be for us forever, even though we called it our forever home. We almost felt like it was for a greater purpose.
Andrew Womack saw that property and he had told me he had driven by for years and years coming down from the mountains through Woodland Park. None of us would have known what God had in store for it.
Dad was a visionary. His ideas for properties in general were different from your average developer or property owner. He owned a lot of property in Houston and Texas and also in Colorado.
When I met Gilbert Jackson, he was everything I thought he would be. He was very intellectual. He was extremely smart, highly educated, successful.
He did not connect any kind of spiritual aspect to his business dealings at all.
He intellectualized it from an early age and up to the very end. I couldn't ever imagine actually having a conversation about the person of Jesus in his life and even our lives. So he accepted us with our beliefs and our what he would probably describe it maybe as a crutch. He didn't need Jesus, we did.
We wanted to honor God by using these beautiful properties for God's glory. Dad did not see it that way, you know, but we were able to do that anyway before he died. And I think he saw that, you know, in our hearts as well, but he didn't join in right away with that until the very end. In 1992, Dad came down with cancer. Had colon cancer, and he had surgery, chemo and radiation, the whole bit. One of the ladies that came to work as one of the nurses not only was a fabulous cook that we all benefited from, but she was just an angel. She was a believer, and she was able to be there the night of his 74th birthday. She said, "Mr. Jackson, there's just one thing I know you're missing." And he was like, "What? You're holding out on me? You have some secret that I don't know?" And she told me later, she said, I wasn't prepared. She said, but God just gave me the words.
Never in a million years in my mind would I think that Merlene and Gilbert would have this relationship where she didn't convince him of anything other than to show him who Jesus was and how to attain that salvation.
Merlene said she just kept, you know, repeating scripture and whatever God would put on her heart to say, and he literally visualized Jesus standing in the door, extending his hand to him to step through the door and become a believer. And Dad argued with Jesus because he said, "I'm not worthy. I've done, you know, bad things and not been a great person and those kind of things. And Jesus, of course, said, it doesn't matter. Step through this door, and he did. He took Jesus' hand and he stepped through that door, and the rest is history. After what Dad called his conversion experience, when we discussed the properties, he had always talked about his properties in a very business-like way. Now his focus had changed, and he said, these properties need to be put together and used for Christian uses, Christian endeavors, Christian education. He was big into education. Mark and I had lived in Woodland Park for several years and in different areas, and after Dad died, we received that property. We decided to build a house out there. That's where we wanted to be all the time. So we made plans to build the big house, and it took about 10 months, I think, to build it. We had a wonderful experience. Some friends of ours that knew we were building had some missionary friends come visit them, and they said, could we come out and see the property? And we said, sure. And we had broken ground, but it wasn't real far underway yet, and they were missionaries, and they just said, you know what, can we just pray for y'all? We said, absolutely. Well, it was their idea for the four of us to face in four different directions, north, south, east, and west, and back to back. We were back to back facing in those directions, and we prayed for that property. They prayed and we prayed for the property, for the construction, just for God to bless it, for God to use it as he would have his way with it. And it was a very powerful moment for Mark and I.
We did say that it's our forever and ever house, and yet we somehow, God had started putting on us that this was never for us in the first place, but we were supposed to build it. Deb had had a dream that we had been equipped, and we had everything we needed to move God's kingdom forward with the things that Gilbert had passed on to us and passed down to us.
In 1999, Mark and I had decided with our girls that we needed to move back to Texas to be closer to our families. So we decided to sell the property.
When we sold the land to the Sturmans, they, unbeknownst to us, called the home the Little Star Lodge. While that embarrassed us greatly, that someone would use our name on that, we accepted that, and like most people, they think it's just an Indian name and not really people. So, and people didn't know us. All the people from all over the world that would come to Sturman Industries to stay in the lodge just thought of it as a nice Native American name, like so many names in the Ute Pass area and that part of the state, that it was an Indian name. So, our house became Little Star Lodge.
Then they ended up selling the property to Andrew Womack Ministries. And evidently, when the Andrew Womack Ministries was inquiring about the property, the Sturmans had said, oh, the Little Stars will be very happy to know this, that there are going to be a Bible college here and that there will be people from all over the world enjoying this property and this home. And it just was a win-win situation for everyone, for them, for us, for Andrew Womack, and for all of God's people that have been there and will be there in the future.
One person, Merlene, changed one person, Gilbert. It only takes one person with a little faith and some courage to go out and change the world. So that's our prayer for not only our own lives, but for the ministry of Andrew Womack and Karis Bible College, that everyone that walks and rides and drives through those gates and sits in those sessions will know that it just takes one person to change the world.
Today I'm at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park, and behind me you see our very first building that we built here on this new Caris Bible College campus. This is a facility I call the barn because of all of the open beams in there. And we moved into this January the 6th, 2014, and in May we had our very first graduation in here, and it was awesome. But did you know we only had standing room? I mean, we have nearly filled this thing out. God is just expanding the ministry of Caris Bible College. And so it's time to get started on our second building. Right here where I'm standing, this marker is the northeast corner of our second building. This second building will go from here all the way over to the barn that you see behind me, and it goes south this way down to where that light pole is towards Pike's Peak. If you go back west, it goes right along where all of these trailers are, and it's going to be a 150,000 square foot building, twice the size of this one, and it will allow this Bible college to grow to a minimum of 3,000 students, possibly 4,000 or more with night school. And so we are beginning construction in August of 2014, and I just wanted to come to you and give you an opportunity to be a part of this. Did you know our first building was paid for debt-free by approximately 26,000 people who contributed and made that possible? And man, I am so grateful to all of you who became a part of this. It's already producing results. People's lives are being changed. But you know, when you consider the potential, we have 3.2 billion people who could watch this program every day worldwide. And if even only 1 out of 1,000 actually watched it and enjoyed this program and were receiving ministry, that would still be over 3 million people. And instead of just 26,000 people helping us with this second one, I was thinking about, Lord, how do I get these other people who I know are receiving and being blessed to be a part of it? And I came up with this idea of using just a text message. And we have a number on your screen, 80888. And if you text the word CHARIS, C-H-A-R-I-S, to that number, it's an automatic $10 contribution. It'll be put on your phone bill. You'll get a text back saying, do you want to do this? And you confirm by texting yes back to them. And that's it. There's no mailing list. We don't capture your names. But it's just a simple, easy way to make a $10 contribution. And you know, if all of you who've been blessed and are behind what we're doing, changing the lives of people with the true gospel, would do this, it's a simple, easy way to participate. And I would like to encourage you to pray about that and do that. Of course, we also have our phone number on the screen where you can call and talk to a person. You can make a contribution if you care to do that. We have our web address there where you could participate. But I would really like to ask those of you who've already received and are really behind us impacting the world through Caris Bible College to become a part of this. And so we have those numbers on your screen. I encourage you to do that and help us change lives and in return change the world.